Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. My name is Hao and I am your occupational therapist and welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, I'd like to tell you a story of a patient whom I have seen a long time ago. This probably goes back around 20 years ago or so now. It's most likely that he's gone and he's probably passed away now. It was around that time when I was working in a community rehab unit in the Republic of Ireland. And this guy, I saw him and he was using a wheelchair. It is a continuing care facility. It's a nursing facility attached to a rehab unit. But this guy lives in the community nursing home. So it's a state-run nursing home, which is a wing in the hospital. And I saw him and he's got a wheelchair. So he's a resident. So I see him all the time. And then we just got into talking after a few weeks of being there. And then I realized he told me that he had some very complicated thigh operation. So he had a fall, very bad fracture, very complicated, to a point where he's been in the hospital for quite some time. And they've put some plates on the bone. It was so much so that he's been in the hospital for a long time that he lost the function of his legs. He's not known to the physiotherapist anymore. He's there. He's in a care facility. So I got to thinking, the nerve is there. The brain is there. The muscles have gone wasted to a point where he cannot do the transfers. And I think he was hoisted to the wheelchair as well. Can't even do a sliding transfer because he doesn't have a power. And on the legs, just slightly shuffle his bottom. And he can't even push with his arms as well. He was in his 80s already around that time, or even early 80s. So I thought, okay, everything was there. He's healthy. He's eating. But the muscle's gone. And it's a proper muscle waste. What I did then is, this is going to be a rehab, like functional mobility retraining, restorative retraining, particularly in the frame of reference of biomechanical frame of reference. The muscle is not there, you strengthen it. The endurance is the start of it all, so he doesn't have any endurance or tolerance at all. So what I tend to do at first, really, to even assess how his legs was moving, is when he was sitting down. So I took his feet off the foot plate, and then I put my hand underneath or behind the popliteal region area just to lift the leg up. And all I wanted to see is whether he can actually swing his legs at all. There is a very faint movement. So very faint movement that I can only see muscle grade of twitch, I would say. So that would be a one. So it's a trace. But it was so weak. Again, the principle and what I thought was, the brain is there. The muscle's gone wasted, has gone, we have muscle wasting. The nerve is there, sensation is there, purely biomechanical. How do you build up a standing tolerance? You need to put some load onto the legs. It was lucky enough that the OT department is quite huge in that area. And we have our own plinth, we have our own hoist, we have our own tilt table, we have standing bars with a table on top of it. We have the old classic sewing, like a pedal, where you cycle and then it'll run like a cutting thing, which is really interesting. So I think that would have been 80s equipment. And we also have our upper limb, like weighted upper limb. We have finger carnivals. Everything was there. It was like 80s, very 80s. Although this time it was in the 2000 when I was there, 2001, I believe. Okay, so there was that agreement. I wanted to build that standing tolerance. We need to put a load on those legs. What did I do? Very simple. Tilt table. I got him onto a tilt table. And I think even before the tilt table, I got him doing a sliding transfer. Yes, that's what I did first. So what I did was I got the wheelchair perpendicular to the plinth and then taught him how to remove the armrest and then got him sliding onto it. And then once he was on the plinth, I got him moving from one end to the other. So that's what we did with him. It's like sliding, shuffle, sliding, shuffle, sliding, shuffle, and then the wheelchair. So that's one of the programs that we did. And because he lives in the place, he just comes in. And that alongside with the use of the tilt table. So after the sliding and we got him there, I got him onto the tilt table. And when it comes to tilt table, guys, there are points of control and support when you have to do that. So remember, the body has the first control would be the neck and head control has to come in first, and then the trunk control, and then the pelvic control. So those would be the sequence of it. He's got a head control, no problem. There's no neurological problem. Then he has a trunk control. There's no problem. But then he doesn't have a lot of pelvic control because it's weak. So got him onto the tilt table, got him standing up onto it, not yet fully, but what I did was I secured the thigh region. Yeah, at first, because he hasn't done that. So I got him secured on the thigh region and a little bit on the chest as well to start with. Because he hasn't put weight on those legs for a year. He's been in the hospital for a year with multiple attendances and operations. So at first I tilted it to 15 degrees and then I timed it. Yeah. And my feedback was, my objective was for him to be able to tolerate that standing using the tilt table. And I also wanted to time it. So the amount of time and him being upright, that would be the measure of success. So around 15 degrees, 20 degrees, I tilted it up. Very little tolerance. He said he's getting sore, it was getting painful, and that was it. So very low tolerance. At first, we were there for 3 to 5 minutes even. But that was the program. We did it. And every day he would come in and I'd just show him in the gym, in the occupational therapy gym, and he would religiously do it. And he's one of my regular customers. We're not even friendly or professionals. We're just, we know each other based on, because we see each other every day and chat to him, but we know he knows what he needed to do. So that's what it was. So tilt table. And then gradually it progresses. The tilt table gradually progressed. And after that, when it was progressing, it's a long time, gosh, months and months on end that we've been doing that. And I was able to see some movements on the legs. Yeah. And so once there was movement on the legs, what I tried to get him to do this time is during the wheelchair mobility, I got him and there was a hallway or a walkway from one unit to another. That's probably about 25 meters long. So I got him on the one end of the hall, seated on the wheelchair. I moved the thing beside the foot plates, put it on the side. And what I did is I got him to push himself backwards, going in reverse. And that's like just a work on the quads. So I got him doing that. So now there's an added program apart from the tilt table program And then we got him onto the plinth program, sliding and shuffle every day. He's doing that nonstop. And on the weekend, he'll do it. He's fine. It was a long time. And when I mentioned it to the physio around that time, the physiotherapist, the in-house physiotherapist said that there wasn't any chance that it's going to recover. But then I don't believe it. He's there. It's not taking so much of my time. He knows what he needed to do. So he just did it. And then when he was shuffling, it came to a point where there is more, a little bit more of a resistance on the quad. So I raised it up. So he was now shuffling, almost perching onto it as well. So that was an activity, a perching activity. He was doing that. And then move the leg sideways. It's almost like sidewalking perch. Lean slightly forward. Use the arms. That was it. Rely on the arms. That's all we did. Okay. And to move those ankles as well, we had a sewing machine in the area, in the OT gym, we would call it. And I got him there, and he'll just sew away with those old Singer sewing machine where you do the pedal on the ankles. Yeah, he was just doing that. So that was fine. Mind you, he was doing that, and his shoe was adapted as well. And I'm sure it was quite heavy because he developed a leg length discrepancy. So that was that, guys. And long time he used the tilt table day in, day out, to a point where he was now able to stand up on the parallel standing section where you can put a wheelchair in and there are two parallel bars. And then he'd stand up and then I'd give him something to do, just pegs and dowels. And he would do that. And then he gets bored and then I change it into something different, like, you know, perhaps finger ladder, again, classic 80s and 90s, and then shift it into like shoulder arc and things like that. So there we go. And cut the long story short, it came to a point where he got the attention of the physio, and then he got to use an elbow frame. Is that what you call gutter frame? There we go. It's a gutter frame. We got him using a gutter frame first. So a lot of the support and the weights coming from the arms. And that was it. So he was just doing that, do little steps and then down, and then he'd sit up, stand up, do short walks. And then it was a little celebration every day. It's taken months and months and months and months on end to a degree where the physiotherapist is now beginning to take the credit for his improvement, which I don't mind. It doesn't really matter to me. You know, I was just pleased that he was actually doing that. The good thing, what's an interesting thing is because smoking wasn't banned yet at the time. I remember on a summer day, they would have the wheelchair outside by the car park, and there is this gutter frame. And he'd stand up and take it outside, outdoor mobility, very slight walk. And the physio's got her rolled up cigarette when she was like smoking away. And that was really interesting. It's just a strange setup. So for me, I didn't think at the time when smoking was free, it was all right at the time. So people were doing it. So culturally, it doesn't matter to me. But now I'm working with NHS, it's almost unheard of, but it did. People were smoking while having and providing therapy. So anyways, so he did that. And it came to a point where I thought, we can do an access visit. So I did. Well, I wasn't driving because it was a left-hand drive in Ireland. And so we've got an OT assistant, we've got a bus, we've got a wheelchair. So wheelchair, bus, and then we did that. Took him home. At first, it's just a visit, yeah? And I've just took some measurements, and then I thought, oh, there's probably going to be a need for ramps in here, and family has just put in some wooden ramps. That was it. And then every little thing. I got him walking with transferring, actually, from a wheelchair, transferring to the bed. He wasn't very confident yet on the frame at the time. I was like, he's identifying every little steps, every little problems. He was identifying, telling me what was wrong. And I said, okay, I know what's wrong, then we'll do it again. And it's amazing because it's just a long time to work with it. We didn't have to worry about the time at all. We have all the time in the world. There's no discharge planning. It was there. Proper rehabilitation. I think overall it took us 2 years of working with him. I was working with him up until the time when I left, before I left the job in that particular area, a particular rehab facility. And he got home. I remembered it was October when he got home. They even tried a weekend. They even tried a weekend discharge trial, home, going home. And that was such a very, that's such a good story. And I'm just thinking about it now and I'm reliving those moments where there is no problem with time. There is no problem with resources. I was the resource. He was there. He was living in the area. I didn't have any problems with the resources of the facility. The facility was available to do the rehab. We can do restorative intervention that was there. I did not have the trouble at the time of the policies of the risk of moving and handling and things like that, because it wasn't a big issue in that place. I was able to hoist a person on my own, because in that part of the world, or perhaps in the country, that was the reason why you'd have to have a hoist, because you don't have to help a person with two people. It's for one person to operate. Technically, I have just been hoisting somebody on my own. And so it was for me a bit of a culture shock when I moved to the United Kingdom, when all of a sudden I was like, a hoist? Two people? Seriously? But anyways, in Ireland, in my experience around that time, yeah. So there you go. I remember it was October when he went home, around the latter part of October, because when it came during the Christmas time, I got a yellow bill. And I think the yellow bill in euro would have been £50 as a Christmas gift and something. It was like, wow, thank you. So I was giving it back to my manager. And then my manager says, well, yeah, that gift is for you, so you can have it. So seriously, thank you. So job well done for that 2 years. And I remember him and I remember his smile now, this guy. And if he's still alive, I'm sure he probably still would be, because Irish people tend to live long lives. So I'm not going to mention his name. But I remembered him teaching me an Irish phrase of how are you, meaning Cihuiltu. There we go. Cihuiltu, how are you? So wherever you are, kind sir, if you're doing very well, if you're still doing very well, it was such a wonderful experience, and it was a journey between himself, I would say he's Mr. C, and myself, how it was really a wonderful experience. And I think we can highlight it that it went well because time was not a factor and he was willing to, patient was engaged and willing to do it at his own pace. We had the facility, so that's another reason why it went well, that is accessible. We have no pressure in terms of discharges because he was a resident. And I was not bound by the limits of policies like hoisting somebody, you needed two people, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, those are the few things. Oh, yes, I'd like put credits on the availability of the equipment, which is the plinth are essential. The tilt table was very essential and it was very easy. There's no limits between, does that belong to OT? Does that belong to physio? we have it. It's a rehab material and equipment, so I had it. So that was good. And I think those were the key reasons why that one was successful. Obviously, the primary reason is that the body is there. The body is intact. His mind is intact. It's not neurology. It's not a stroke. It's not a spinal cord injury. It's not a head injury. So the neuromotor junction is intact. It was plain and simple deconditioning, muscle wastage, and that led to severe weakness to a degree where you can almost consider him being paraplegic. So yes, he was paraplegic because those legs weren't working at all when I started working with him. So there you go, guys. I hope you found this story. I hope you find this story entertaining and amazing because I enjoyed telling the story about it. So just remember, guys, anything you do matters and it really has an outcome. Until next time, bye.